Hello and welcome to Unabashed Book Snobbery, the podcast where we gush about George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire and veto its valueless adaptation, Game of Thrones.
This is where being a book snob is a good thing.
My name is Kylie, and here with me are Julia.
Hey!
And Caroline.
Hi, everybody!
Caroline's back!
The three of us write for TheFundamentals.com for fundamentally sound fandom analysis, but tonight, we are at a prestigious event, are we not?
Oh, yes!
It is the
I'm
third
in my Eau Couture gown.
Annual Carol Awards.
Yay!
Yay!
So, for anyone who doesn't know, the Carol Awards is the most prestigious award show around for television. It's
definitely on our website.
Celebrating the finest dramatic satisfaction that Game of Thrones has had to offer. And I know a lot of people were just gutted that they didn't get recognition at this year's Emmys because their season aired too late for it. But it's okay because we are here to celebrate everything about Game of Thrones season 7. We had many responses. So these,
we had many memorable nominees.
We did. So these winners of the Golden Carols have been selected through one of the most rigorous voting processes possible.
Google Forms. Okay.
So what a lovely crowd here. I'm sorry, I don't watch award shows.
I don't know. I don't watch them either.
As apparently I've said in the past, I haven't watched an award show since Shakespeare in Love won Best Picture. I'm still not over it.
I watched, Jodie Foster come out at an award show. Does that count?
Did you watch, a clip of it later?
Yeah.
So that doesn't count, no.
Oh. Well, that's my experience.
I don't know. Award shows have a lot of talking that I don't understand, so.
For anyone who has no idea what the fuck we're talking about...
Jodie Foster came out at an award show.
We're at an award show for the Carol Awards, named in memoriam of our good, in memoriam of our good Queen Carol.
Yes, who died when Cheryl emerged from her.
The chrysalis.
Glorious.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about with that, please read our book snob glossary.
Yes.
That's our joking name for...
Are we going to be using the fan names during this?
No.
Well, we are going to use two fan names, and those fan names are going to be Cheryl Lannister and Larry Lannister, because we can't not use them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At this point, it's not a fan name thing. It's an identity thing.
Yeah. All the other ones we are going to be calling, Jon Snow instead of Johnny Cardboard and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
Kylie, I have a question.
Yes, what's your question?
How did we get into this mess? How did the Carol Awards start?
Oh, okay. So this is actually a little bit of a fun Carol Award history. Let's go to memory lane here with this. Back during season 5, there were quite few of us who felt the show was less than good. And we sort of congregated on Westeros.org, the forums, ASOIAF.Westeros.org, if you're interested in visiting them. And there were these threads that came, that instead of the nitpick with impunity threads, the issues we had were so egregious, it became the rant and rave with impunity threads. Right, so these people who participated in the rant and rave threads became known as the ranters and ravers. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we had an idea for, like, the worst of the worst, kind of, like, celebrating how bad the season was.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had an idea. It might be funny to do an award show. And we named it the Carol Awards because Carol Lannister was such a funny character that year to us. Because mm-hmm. she was, like, so put upon and wonderful. Yeah. And all the marketing was like, that heinous bitch. So, yeah, we just made the Carol Awards. And it was, like, totally informal. I believe it was on our Tumblr blog that...
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was on DOT Gifts and Musings. So we just did a funny thing for that. And then the next year, you know, we had the website going and we're like, oh, this would be a really good opportunity to
crash the website.
To crash the website with our 50 pictures and our embedded sound files. So this year we figured this is going to be an audio tour. So mm-hmm. you can be following through our Carol Awards post and click to reveal the winner on that. But the only audio file and commentary is going to be on here so that things can load and our editor-in-chief doesn't yell at us again.
She's very scary sometimes.
I was never on the Westeros.org stuff. I was lonely and I was on Tumblr and thinking I was all alone and being concerned about the show and its direction in season 5. And that's when I found Game of Thrones Gifts and Musings. And I think the first thing I ever read was the Orientalism pieces. And,
oh, yeah, that was on the cultural vacuum.
Yeah, that was... I remember
when I had a Tumblr blog?
That was the first thing I read, and then I started to follow you guys, and I was, like, brand new to Tumblr. I'd never done it. One of my friends, who's, like, 6 years younger than me, was like, make a Tumblr, and I'm like, you damn kids, I don't know how to tumble.
Tumblr.
How do you do this? This is a god-awful thing. And then I started following, and I remember the first Carol Awards, and I think I voted in them. I think I remember doing
that. Oh.
Yeah.
We had pretty good participation. I think it was like, it was a few hundred that year. Then we had like a crazy amount last year. And then this year, we had like close to 1,000. But I think people have actually like just stopped watching the show altogether.
But its ratings are just getting higher and higher. I don't understand.
I know. I mean, people who are dissatisfied. So power to you guys. But we are going to go through and talk about the finest of the finest of season 7. We cannot wait. And then... following this, Julie and I are going to be rewatching all of it and writing analysis of it.
Yay.
So we are thrilled to have Caroline back with us. For those of you who don't know, when we were doing episode by episode reviews, she was on it, on this feed with us the whole time.
She was.
Yay. Definitely worth a re-listen.
Her various puppies.
Yeah, yes. I was just re-listening to all of our episodes for the Carol Awards. We are a hoot, I will say. Just delightful.
I agree. I agree with that definition. I feel that we are a hoot.
But look, guys, we have polished golden carols to give out.
Yeah.
They're new. We just got them in. Freshly minted carols. So let's get to handing them out, because there are so many worthy nominees here.
So how many categories are there total, do we know?
I want to say something like 42.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, we may have gone a little too far in a few places.
Okay, George Lucas. All right, so let's get going. The first award is for the most meta line. So what is meta-ness, Julia?
Meta-ness is kind of an acknowledgement by a text that it is a text. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a breaking of the fifth wall and kind of an acknowledgement of how, like, of the artifice of the piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, like, the most meta thing would be, like, you know, an office kind of staring right at the camera thing. But can also be an acknowledgement of, like, you know, lampshading is a form of meta commentary, right? Like, you're acknowledging mm-hmm. that your text is a text and also that you've, like, you know, you've made a mistake in the text almost, right? But, like, in this context, when we say most meta line, we kind of, like, we feel like it's, you know, the piece, the text commenting on itself, right?
Accidentally, but yes.
Accidentally, yeah. I think that's
sometimes,
the key
like,
here.
You can, yeah. I mean, sometimes meta commentary is not accidental, but I think in this case, it might be.
Well, because actual meta commentary would require some sort of awareness of what you're doing. And D&D certainly don't have that. So I think it's all accidental.
I agree. All right, so let us hear the nominees. Caroline, do you want to read them off?
Sure. Most meta line nominees are: maybe it really is all cocks in the end, Bronn to Larry. It's difficult to explain, Bran on being the Three-Eyed Raven. I don't know what that means, Sansa on Bran being the Three-Eyed Raven. Words stop meaning anything, Jon Snow. Lady Sansa, forgive me, but I'm a bit confused, Littlefinger at his trial. What happened to you, Ari? Hot pie to Arya. And how should I be smarter? By listening to you? Jon Snow to Sansa.
Oh, man. And the winner is, and this was actually a fairly comfortable victory with 32.8% of the votes. Maybe it really is all cocks in the end.
Yay!
Bronn to Larry.
Who did you vote for, Caroline?
Maybe it is all cocks in the end. I was right. Yep.
I actually voted for Lady Sansa. Forgive me, but I'm a bit confused.
I think that was my runner-up. I mentioned before to you guys off the podcast, it took me like 2 hours to vote. Because I went through everything really carefully. And I think that was
I think I voted for, I don't know what that means, Sansa, on Bran being the three-eyed crow. So the second place winner was Words Stop Meaning Anything, Jon Snow.
That's
true, too. Mm-hmm. That's very meta. But you know what? Maybe it is all cocks in the end. Like, yeah, it's Game of Thrones.
That's so on point. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's great.
No one liked what happened to you, Arya, even though, like, that only got 21 votes, but Arya is disturbed this year.
Yeah, but that only really references one character. Maybe it really is all cocks in the end, references, like, every scene of the entire series. So.
All right, the next category. We have the most Emmy-worthy line.
This show, I still kind of, I'm like how I'm not over Shakespeare in Love winning, I'm still not over this, has run best writing, like 2 years in a row. And these are the lines that really kind of make you nod and say, oh yes, I can see why that would be the case.
Yeah, it's, whew. All right, so the nominees are, nope, it's pussy for me, Tormund. I'm not here to murder. All I want is to destroy the wheel that has rolled over rich and poor to benefit no one but the Cheryl Lannisters of the world. I offer you a choice. Bend the knee and join me. Together we will leave the world a better place than we found it. Or refuse and die. Daenerys.
Daenerys is a queen. Only a king can convince her to help us.
Jon Snow. Listen, if you have any advice at all, I'd love to hear it. When would we have an hour or two to speak as brothers? Does she like it gentle or rough? A finger in the bum? Shh, not now, we'll talk later. You're on to Larry on Sex with Cheryl.
Oh, God.
The Iron Bank appreciates how you cast off the yoke of superstition, freeing the crown from elements who sought to subvert the rule of law. Tyker to Cheryl.
Safest place for me was right under the queen's nose.
Gendry to Davos.
A dynasty for whom? Our children are dead. We're the last of us. A dynasty for us, then.
Larry and Cheryl.
What did Father used to say? Everything before the word but is horseshit.
Jon Snow. And finally,
I'll tell you what doesn't scare me. Bald cocksickers like you. You think you're fooling anyone with that top knot? Bald cunt.
Santa to Thoros.
There's one left. There's one more.
What? Oh.
Be a dragon.
Olenna to Dany. And the winner is by... Wow, not that much. By like 20. It was Euron asking for sex advice. That was the winner by a pretty healthy margin.
Yeah.
By 20.3% of the votes. Wow.
Yep. Okay, so if we were to do like a Carol of Carols, which would win? This or Bad Pussy?
Ooh, Bad Pussy. Bad Pussy's
bad
classic.
Bad Pussy has to win everything.
Yeah. I totally voted for Be a Dragon because I'm just like so enamored of that one.
I think I voted for a dynasty for ourselves because like that's not what a dynasty is.
Yeah. No, I voted for the Daenerys, like I'm not here to murder. That starts with I'm not here to murder and ends with or refuse and die.
But that's not murder, that's judicial execution, Caroline.
I just love, again, she sounds like a reality show star. I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to murder. Like, but no, it doesn't shock me at all that, like, a finger in the bum won. Because, you know, it was pretty fucking horrible. But, wow, boy, is this writing just some hot garbage.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next category is Finest Fan Service Award. Caroline, what is fan service?
Oh gosh, to explain it. Fan service is when the show does something it knows the fans will want or will like, or they think the fans will like, and so they do it just for the purpose of getting, like, the praise. That's my understanding of it.
Yeah, and it also involves a little bit of that meta-ness of meta lines. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, we know, so wink, 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 and we know you know, remember when. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like every time on Supergirl they mention, like, Batman, but they're obviously not allowed to call him Batman, so they're like, oh, my cousin had a friend with gadgets, and everyone's like, oh my god, that's Batman. That's exactly what it is. Alright, what are the nominees, Julia?
The nominees for Finest Fan Service are Liana Mormont's feminist speech on not knitting socks.
Good God.
Ed Sheeran's cameo. Davos cracking roaming jokes to Gendry. John calling Danny, Danny. The Sand Snake's brutal deaths. Bronn talking about Pod's magic cock. Bait and switch for Littlefinger's death. And Tyrion joking about how well Jon broods.
And the winner is, by a whole lot, with 31.4% of the vote, Davos cracking rowing jokes to Gendry.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's the one I voted for.
Yeah, it. Me too. My friend Jason watched this, and he said that was so bad that Gendry might as well winked into the camera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait, Julia, which one did you vote for?
I voted for Liana Mormont's feminist speech on not knitting socks because, if you recall, when it happened, I was a little obsessed with that line.
Mm-hmm. Understandably so. I think it came up second. It was a runner-up, so.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran wasn't really fan service as much as it was, like, a surprise for Maisie.
No, but it was, like, I guess you could, but it was, like, they got a lot of publicity out of that.
And not positive.
Yeah, I don't think it was. And I don't think it was.
I mean, we'll talk about this in the retrospectives, but I don't really have any problems with that scene as a scene.
Me either. No, it's just like, dumb. Oh god. But Liana's feminist speech did come in second place. Excuse me.
And it has that, like, you know, like, that mix of, like, fan service and anachronism that just makes it extra special to me.
Yeah.
I know we missed a lot in this category, because this season was basically fan service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, season one, it was this year's Lord of the Rings, so.
Yeah.
I just think Gendry coming back after having been on the boat, and, like, all these years of the fans talking about the boat, like, that. That's why I think that one is, like, clearly, they heard the fans talking about it, and were like, oh, shit, we gotta do something.
Alright, guys, the next Golden Carol is for the best trip down Ned Stark memory lane.
Hey, remember when Ned Stark was on this show?
Back when it was good?
It's so obvious that they rewatched season one before writing this show. This season, like,
I can't believe how many of these there are, actually. I'm looking at, there's like 9 choices here.
Do you want to read them all for us?
Oh, sure, yes. Best trip down Ned Stark memory lane. John telling the Northern Lords that Ned, believe the man who passes the sentence should swing the sword. What did father used to say? Everything before the word but is horse shit. John to Sansa. Yeah, sure. Ned Stark said that. Okay. Littlefinger telling John how cool it was that both he and Ned love Catelyn.
Super cool.
Oh my god.
Very cool.
Arya recalling the time Ned slow clapped for her. Arya recalling what Sansa wore as Ned was beheaded. Gendry bonding with John over Ned and Robert being friends. Your father wanted to execute me. Jorah to John. John telling Theon that Ned was more of a father to him than Baelon. Beric telling John that he doesn't look like Ned and must favor his mother more.
Oh, we know things.
that's honestly the dumbest one ever, but,
yeah.
God, yeah, okay. I'll just say, this was actually a pretty close race between the top two, but the winner of the Golden Carol is Ned slow clapping for Arya.
Because that was the most egregious one. That was like, come on. Like, I shot the same arrow over and over, even though I'm the Lord's daughter and can have as many fucking arrows as I need.
And, yeah, but she's the Lord's daughter, Caroline.
Oh, how dare she shoot a bow? Like,
patriarchy! Women weren't taught to hunt.
No, women in the North had no idea how to use a bow. What is a bow? What is it? She doesn't even know she can have more than one arrow.
And then the second place runner-up was Arya recalling just what Sansa wore as Ned was beheaded.
Yeah.
Which is, like,
I think it was the same speech, actually.
I don't remember this. When did this happen? Has it happened in the same speech as the slow clap speech?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. Because she was talking about how, like, Ned approved of her beating the patriarchy, so he slow clapped for her or whatever. And then she said, like, I remember you were there when they beheaded him and you were wearing a pretty dress.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, wearing, I don't know, anything else.
Cloth sack, whatever.
If she had been wearing a jerkin, then she wouldn't have been a victim, Caroline.
Bet she sewed that dress herself, too.
Alright, so the next Golden Carol is for something of the similar vein. It's the best trip down Game of Thrones memory lane, because, as we said, the theme of this season was Brian Cogman just rewatched season one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only Brian Cogman? They have like a sleepover party where they rewatch it.
I honestly don't think they watch it.
Did they binge it and eat popcorn?
I just think he's like
monsters.
I feel like he's the keeper of continuity. He's the only one who even bothers at this point. Maybe Dave Hill was with him. Maybe they made some popcorn.
I like this image of them bonding.
Anyway, the options are Tyrion and Jorah's slavery bonding, Nymeria, the dire wolf, existing again, Gendry and Davos reminiscing about rowing, Sandor and Brienne reminiscing about their fight, Littlefinger digging up the dagger used against Bran in season one, Littlefinger digging up the letter Sansa wrote while under duress, Jon and Tyrion's reminiscence about Tyrion peeing off the wall, and Daenerys recalling Varys' past alliances and attempted murder.
Hooray!
So, the first place winner with 25.3% of the votes. Littlefinger digging up the letter Sansa wrote while under duress.
I actually voted for this one. I win.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's interesting to me because the dagger only got 14% and that came in third place. So it's interesting to me that the letter got more votes, like significantly more, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I think I voted for Gendry and Davos.
I think it's just more probable. Like the dagger. The dagger more probable than like the whole, like, I guess it's possible that maesters have like a redundant filing system and they store all their emails, but I don't know.
Seems I mean, Winterfell burned down. Like, that was pretty improbable. I'm not really remembering which one I voted for, to be perfectly honest. The one that's calling to me the most right now is Daenerys recalling Varys' past. Yeah. Because she literally brings it up and then no one really talks about anything. They just kind of talk in circles, and then she's like, okay, well, tell me to my face, bitch, if you have a problem with me. And that's how it was left.
Yeah. I know I voted for Gendry and Davos, because any of the times I had difficulty, I defaulted to Gendry and Davos. I just love Davos Seaworth. So it was just like, he gets my vote if I'm ever struggling.
Well, and that was, like, so blatantly just like, oh, that happens, and we were there. God.
Basically in that tone of voice, too. He's so folksy.
Look, my impression of Davos is uncanny. Okay, the next award is the Golden Carol for the best dressed. Julia.
Okay. So, the nominees for the best dressed award are Cheryl's Queensguard Space Nazi uniforms, Euron's rockin' leather jacket and guyliner, the Dothraki stuffing little bits of fur into their belts for the winter, for warmth, Daenerys of shaved rabbit or shaved ghost coat, Alaria's bathrobe of sex appeal, Sansa's dress with the belt that represents how she's inapproachable, Prince Rhaegar's Viserys cosplay, and Cheryl's batter cardigan with matching tiara.
Alright, the winner by 15 votes with 24% of the total votes goes to Prince Rhaegar's Viserys' cosplay.
Well deserved.
It was very, like, if you told me that was Harry Lloyd, I'd be like, yeah, of course.
No, I declare a mistrial and I denounce the proceedings because Cheryl's battle cardigan didn't win.
Cheryl's Queensguard Space Nazi uniform.
Excuse me. Daenerys' horrible shaved rabbit fucking coat that I hate with such a passion didn't win. It was obvious. But
Alaria suddenly becoming a crossdresser, and that was never a thing.
So the battle cardigan actually came in third with 20% of the vote, and then in second place with 22% of the vote was Euron's rockin' leather jacket and guyliner.
The guyliner was a little ridiculous.
I thought it was fine.
he looked like he was coming from a My Chemical Romance concert. Like, it was not that funny.
I mean, but it wasn't as bad as what surrounded it, you know? It's like, okay, he has an old leather. He sort of looks like Captain Jack Sparrow, whatever. And then here's Cheryl with her battle cardigan and the guard standing next to her. I mean, come on. In the whole scene.
I'm sorry, I can't deal with the battle cardigan. It's like she literally just went into a Boscov's and found a cardigan and then, like, wore chainmail under it.
But guys, the back of the dress has a spine thing that means she's evil. I haven't done my season 7 piece yet, but this will be part of it.
Let me tell you, did you come across any quotes about Prince Rhaegar's cosplay?
Not any explanation from Michelle Clapton.
I can't wait if that exists.
I don't think anyone's asked her about it. I think everyone realizes that it's just the same outfit. poor Prince Viserys only had two outfits to begin with. He only had two different tunics. He had a black
one. Well, that's Cleodical. Remember in the books how he keeps wearing the same, like, silks and they start, like, rotting off of him?
I think the best part of this is the idea that this is what he would wear to a wedding. Like,
his own wedding. Well, it's his second one. Lyanna's
dress is shitty, too. Lyanna's dress is, like, this weird, because there's, like, cosplayers who've been trying to recreate it, and there's, like, one shot of it, and they're like, what do you think this is made of? And I'm like, I think it's made of bullshit. Like, stop it. Don't.
It's made of lies in my crushed dreams. All right, on theme, the next Carol Award is for the Finest Wig Award.
Oh, yay!
Caroline, what are the options?
The Finest Wig Award, we have four contenders. Sans has dyed Margaery wig. Daenerys' windproof dragon riding wig. Cheryl's fashion icon wig, mimicked by her maids. Prince Rhaegar's Viserys wig.
And the winner, wow, he cleaned, like, Rhaegar has been cleaning up.
Overwhelming by 61.2% of the vote.
Yeah. Yeah, Prince Rhaegar's Viserys wig. I'm not surprised this won, because it's just so fucking, like, ridiculous. So,
this is what I voted for. I voted for this over Daenerys' wig, and you know my gripes with Daenerys' wig.
Oh, I voted for Daenerys' wig.
The other three were pretty evenly split. Sansa's dyed Margaery wig came in second, and then Daenerys' windproof wig was, like, right behind it. And Cheryl's was a couple percentage points below that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing that's funny about Cheryl's wig is that her maid also had her wig.
Like a thing that would probably happen in an actual court, but... Yeah, it's still funny.
But it was just, there's something about Mini-Me standing there with, like, the shoulder pads. And you're like, who are you?
It's interesting because back in, like, season 1 and 2, they actually did this gradual hair change thing where after Cersei goes to the north, Sansa begins to adopt the styles of the south as they move further south. But it's gradual. And so by the end of the season, she's wearing her hair like a southern woman. And I think even her Septa comments on it or something. And it's, like, an interesting cultural detail. But this is just insane looking, because it's, like, a mini-me standing right next to her wearing the same clothes and the same hair.
I'm surprised that Arya didn't point that out, that she was wearing Cersei hair when Ned got executed.
So here's the thing. The Prince Rhaegar Viserys wig, this is where I wonder, Arlie, we too committed to negativity, because didn't Viserys try to style himself after Rhaegar, right?
That's what you call a honeypot, but okay.
I know, but...
I mean, it's a Michelle Clapton-style honeypot, to be honest, but, you know.
I mean, yeah. I don't think that they were that identical that I had to, like, squint at the actor and be like, wait a minute.
Is that Harry Lloyd?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, did they just get Harry Lloyd to do this? Like,
are they that Why late? Is Bran creeping on Harry Lloyd's wedding? This is huge. Oh, but my they God, were this brothers, next they weren't twins. I'm sorry, I just scrolled down to see the pie chart for the next category. So we're going to move on to the most... We're still sticking with what people are wearing, but this one is most stylish plot armor.
And what is plot armor, Kylie?
Well, the trope of plot armor, Julia, is that certain characters, whether they are designated protagonists or antagonists, are too important to the plot to be harmed or killed in any significant way. So they wear invisible plot armor that in situations where they by all means should die or be hurt, they do not. Think Arya getting stabbed and then jumping into shit-filled water last year in Braavos. And that was the winner, I believe, last year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the options are Jon surviving his plunge into freezing waters while wearing furs, Drogon not being targeted by the Night's King, Larry getting knocked out of the way of Dragonfire into a puddle slash river, we're not sure, and ending up on the opposite side of the bank, Tyrion spectating a battle for fun, and mentioned Grey Worm and the Unsullied remaining unharmed at Casterly Rock after Euron's fleet shows up.
That last sentence is just mostly confusing.
This pie chart's very pleasing because the winner got almost exactly half the votes. Mm. The runner-up got about 30% of the votes, and then it sort of like split evenly with the others-ish.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Pac-Man.
Yeah, it looks a lot like Pac-Man. But the winner with the most stylish plot armor, and no one should be surprised at all, was Larry getting knocked out of the way of Dragonfire, falling into a puddle river with full armor, and ending up on the opposite side of the bank without Dany pursuing him or anything.
Or, like, ever mentioning the fact that she, like, knocked him, like, you know, that he, like, tried to kill her.
And apparently, like, everyone knew he survived because Tyrion was trying to reach out for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not get stuck in the weeds. Which one did you vote for, Caroline?
I actually voted for Jon surviving his plunge into the freezing waters. I was between the Jamie and Jon.
I believe I did, like, too. I mean, I don't remember if I voted for that one or if I finally voted for Grey Worm and the Unsullied remaining unharmed at Castle Rock, because I'm just so confused by that. Like, I'm confused as to, like, what actually happened.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I knew Jamie was going to win really easily in this category. Like, that's so egregious. So I just kind of voted for Tyrion because I was pissed off. Because I was like, why was he spectating battle? Why did he come to a battle? Like, he was just standing on a hill watching a battle. Why is he doing that?
Wasn't even on a horse.
No, and, like, it wasn't really plot armor because no one came after him. But then at the same time, why is no one coming after him?
And why didn't he ever mention to Dany, like, hey, you almost burned my brother to death?
I think they were going to be talking about this a lot in the retrospective.
There's so many things that don't make sense.
You know what else we're going to be talking a lot about? Jon Snow's kingship. So, the next Golden Carol is for the award for stunning kingly competence.
Remember when Jon Snow was made King of the North?
He doesn't remember. King of the North.
Well, Joya, what do you think were his most competent moments? Do you want to read them off?
Well, the nominees are Jon giving castles to two children so as to not punish the sins of their fathers. Jon not consulting with his advisors before publicly announcing important policy decisions. Jon going to Dragonstone to micromanage mining dragonglass, but not bringing anyone to mine the dragonglass. Jon micromanaging the White Hunt. Jon sailing past the North twice and not stopping in. Jon kneeling to Daenerys. Jon telling Cheryl he kneeled to Daenerys.
So yeah, this was a very tight vote between also the number one and number two. So winning by 11 votes with 25.2% was Jon going to Dragonstone to micromanage mining Dragonglass, but not bringing anyone to mine the Dragonglass.
Or at least we don't think he did. It's not really clear.
There's no evidence that he did.
The runner-up was that he didn't consult with his advisors before publicly announcing important decisions, such as, hey, Sansa, you're going to run Winterfell now?
I am shocked that didn't win in a landslide.
That's what I voted for, too.
That was so egregious. But, I mean, the Dragonstone thing was extra dumb. This wasn't really mentioned in the way it was worded, but it was extra dumb because it was also literally a trap.
Yeah, and, so like, obviously like, well, a trap.
I guess I can't leave now. It's like, yeah, maybe that's what your sister warned you about?
Maybe you should have come with, like, a small army.
Oh my god. And also, like, I'm sorry, only a king can convince a queen. Like, that was his logic.
It's called emissaries. You sent emissaries.
Oh my god.
Anyway, yes, let's continue.
Okay. The most anachronistic moment. Julia, what's an anachronism?
An anachronism is basically when you let kind of the contemporary reality of the author bleed into what is supposed to be the reality of the text. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, anachronism means, like, you know, like, against the time, right? So, like, if you had a sports car running around the Hippodrome in ancient Rome, that would be an anachronism. But, like, in this context, since, like Westeros doesn't exist, it never has, anachronism may not be the best term, but it's kind of like it's clearly against the established rules of the setting, right?
It's clashy. I mean, there's still anachronisms. Like, it doesn't just have to be, like, modern things existing in old times. For instance, if you're watching a TV show right now that's set right now and someone is using a pager, you're going to be like, huh. Like, it's just anything that kind of pulls you out of the setting.
Yeah.
If you're in a modern TV show now in 2017 using a pager, then you're a drug dealer. That's the only reason you're using a pager.
Okay, what if you're using an AIM? If you're using AIM, then that's an anachronism.
Is that still around? Yeah.
Didn't they shut it down? Yeah, they shut it down.
Anyway, Caroline, what are our nominees?
Oh, what are our nominees? We have 5 nominees for most anachronistic moment. Lyanna declaring that women will fight and not sew. Cheryl abstaining from drinking wine because of her pregnancy. Tycho praising Cheryl for seeing to the separation of church and state. Okay. Ed Sheeran asking Arya if she's old enough to drink. The guards refusing to let Arya into Winterfell because they think she's lowborn. And the winner is...
pretty handily, with exactly a third of the votes, Ed Sheeran asking Arya if she's old enough to drink.
Yep. Yeah, that was very jarring.
Yeah, that was, like, insane.
That's like, people, this is the kind of setting where people literally drink beer for breakfast.
Yeah, because water can be dangerous.
You know, this isn't the first time they've done this. Like, remember in season 5 when Sansa was like, I've never had beer before, to Littlefinger, and they're like flirting in that tavern? I'm like, what the fuck is going on with
this? You know, in Belgium, they serve beer in school lunches.
Do they really? That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if that's something they're just considering doing at some point, or if they actually done it, but yeah.
Yeah, the runner-up with a quarter of the votes was Lyanna declaring that women will not fight and sew. That's pretty terrible, too.
Yeah.
I did want to take a quick minute, though, to explain the last place one, actually, with only 5% of the votes, is the guards refusing to let Arya into Winterfell because they think she's lowborn. And people are like, well, wait, wouldn't that have happened? No. The function of castles is to protect, like, vassals and the lowborn. And that's when winter is coming and you're, like, trying to tend to the people outside. Like, that's when you bring people in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Especially a little girl, because, like, doesn't the patriarchy exist, right? So the whole thing is that a little girl wouldn't be able to do anything.
I mean, there are times
when
you wouldn't let anyone in the castle, like, if it's, like, about to be under siege and, or stuff like that, but, like...
Yeah, or, like, maybe if they suspected she was a wildling, but there was no indication of that.
Right.
Maybe. So, yeah, I don't know. That's why that was on there. These are all pretty egregious, like... Cheryl abstaining from drinking wine because of her pregnancy, there's no way that society would have known about.
And, like, really, I think, like, considering how dangerous water was, especially in an urban setting like that, where people shit in the river where you get your water, even with the risk of fetal alcohol syndrome, she was probably better off drinking wine.
Also, like, you're now allowed to have a glass of wine, like, once a week when you're pregnant.
Is that what they tell you?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It's just, like, lower your stress. It's not that bad. And then Tycho praising Cheryl for the separation of church and state.
That was so weird.
I almost voted for that one just because it was hilarious, but I had to go with the Arya and the drinking age thing. But I mean, it's the best.
Alright, this next award category, the Where Am I award, is a very special one. So, watching Game of Thrones Season 7, there's sometimes that you, like, think you know something about a setting, whether you've read the books or you're just remembering past seasons, and you find yourself very disoriented. So, I think we started this last year.
Yeah.
Because I believe Braavos was just so angry and unfriendly that we're like, what the fuck is this? But this year we have 7 good options of what the fuck is this. So here they are. There is King's Landing, where everyone's okay with the Faith having been blown up and they cheer for Lannister allies. North of the Wall, where water doesn't refreeze, or it refreezes on the time of the plot, I guess.
It didn't refreeze all night, but when the sun came up, then it refroze.
Winterfell, where Starks threatened to cut off their sibling's face and wear it. High Garden, which is easy to capture since the Tyrell's sigil is a flower.
Makes sense.
Casterly Rock, which is susceptible to forces coming by sea. Dragonstone, where literally no one lives. And the Dragon Pit on the outskirts of town that has stadium seating.
The thing about this category that I like is that, like, you can appreciate how all these things are wrong if you're, like, you know, a careful watcher of the show. But the more you know about the canon, right? Like, if you, like, read the world books and you, like, read, like, background material and stuff like that, the worse it is.
Yeah.
Like, so Casterly Rock being successful to forces coming by sea, when, like, Visenya took one look at it, was just like, oh my god, I'm so glad he was stupid enough to have an open battle with us. And,
yeah,
like,
so
how important
reason,
the small folk on Dragonstone were in various points in history and things like that. Just like,
yeah, so for that reason, the winner is, with 29.5% of the votes, King's Landing, where everyone is okay with the Faith having blown up. Because, like, I'm sorry, you know one thing about how the society operates with the Faith. Like, no.
Yeah.
Remember when the people of King's Landing stormed the Dragon Pit and killed a lot of dragons?
Yes.
Yeah. Just saying.
Well, the Dragon Pit, too. The longer I think about the Dragon Pit with stadium seating, the longer I'm confused by it.
Yeah, like, what did they think was happening in the dragon pit? Because the dragon pit was, like, where the dragons lived. That's what it was for.
Yeah, they're acting like it was a literal gladiator ring that was going on. Like,
yeah.
Why? Winterfell came in second place with 24.5% of the votes, because Stark's threatening to cut off their sibling's face and wear it is not really evocative of the Starks.
I voted for the Casterly Rock one. I'm surprised we didn't make such so good a showing over there, but I thought that was, like...
Yeah, ridiculous. That was pretty bad. I actually voted for Highgarden because, like, they didn't even have an on-screen fight. This is a defensive stronghold, and literally the only comment we got by Benioff and Weiss were, oh, the Tyrells, you know, they're not really fighters. Their flower is a sigil. Their sigil's a flower. It's like, what?
Yeah, they're playing with some, like, weed killer. And sprayed some weed killer in the front door, and it just crumbled.
Oh, well, if the lions storm the flower place, the lions win, I guess.
Unless the lions are allergic to pollen.
Some kind of, like, weird game of rock, paper, scissors happening.
Man. Oh, I'm excited about this one.
Oh, okay. Me too.
Our next Gone Carol is given to the most poetic death of the season.
So, poetic justice is when, like, a character, like, something happens to a character that kind of reflects their previous actions, right? In a way that it's, like, comeuppance.
Yeah, right?
In a way that doesn't usually happen in real life, it usually only happens in fiction.
Well, yeah, like, I'm trying to think, like, in the Grimm fairy tales, there's a lot of poetic justice, usually.
Yeah, yeah, it's like being hoisted by your own petard.
Right. Which they thought they do sometimes on the show. Yes. But yeah, Julia, what was poetic this year? What are the nominees?
The nominees for most poetic death are Littlefinger being killed by his own dagger that he randomly gave Bran, Nymeria being strangled with her own whip, Obara getting stabbed with her own spear, Tyeen being poisoned with lipstick, Alaria being chained up to watch Tyeen die before her own implied death, Benjen Coldhand sacrificing himself for... Reasons. Thoros, the fire priest, freezing to death. The Dowager Sestris drinking poisoned wine. Olive House Frey drinking poisoned wine.
All right, so this was a runaway with 39.2% of the votes. Not even close. Littlefinger being killed by his own dagger that he randomly gave to Bran.
I mean, it's just so, like, why did he give Bran that dagger?
To poetically die, to be able to poetically die. That's now looking back at it, right, that's the reason.
Well, I mean, we said that at the time, too. We're like, there's no other reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Gee, I wonder how Littlefinger is going to die at the end of the season.
Second place was Benjen sacrificing himself for reasons. I truthfully forgot this dude existed, so.
Why is that poetic? I don't know. I didn't understand that one.
Yes, just because...
No, because he was, like, dead, and he killed the dead people or something.
I mean, it was framed as being significant, so yeah, I think that's why we included this on this list, but, I mean, I don't find it poetic, because I don't find any of these poetic. I'm actually a little disappointed the Sand Snakes were such underperformers here, because that was the dumbest one. Yeah, like, Nymeria getting strangled with her own whip was just... They just contrived the fight, so she got strangled with her own whip.
Because, like, all experienced close combat people would definitely use a whip when fighting on a ship.
God.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was actually a little surprised when I was making this list with Julia. The Dowager Sastris drinking poisoned wine. I'm like, oh, fuck, that is kind of poetic.
That's the one I voted for, because I was like, wow, that's actually a poetic.
Yeah, that's actually poetic. But this is the Carol Awards, and we have to be sarcastic.
Yeah.
Also, Littlefinger was just so, like,
I mean, that was insane.
The third place winner with only 9.7%, so not a lot, was Olive House Frey drinking poisoned wine. Which I guess, you know, the North remembers, and the North came for House Frey. Okay, whatever.
and the North cooked for House Frey, and the North made a party for House Frey. And the North got music for House Frey.
Obara getting stabbed with her own spear only got 2 votes. Poor Obara.
Do you get stabbed with a spear? Is that the action that you take with a spear?
Yeah, what else would you...
Impaled. You get impaled.
Yeah, impaled.
Oh. Remember when she impaled Tristan Jonas through his head?
Was she stabbed through her head, or was she just...
No, she just stabbed through the gut.
No, she just, like, run through.
And then, see, like, they, like, been... made her the, like, masthead thing, whatever the thing on the
side. See, it would have been poetic if it had gone through her head. It would have been poetic. See,
all right. So the most, the next category is for the most empowering moment. So empowerment is basically. Oh man, how do I even explain this in the context of Game of Thrones? Speaking very, generally, it's when you have the tools provided or, you say something that show that you're possessing the tools towards a more just and better system or condition for yourself, or the world at large.
It's like, getting more agency, right?
Yes, usually. It's just to empower, literally to empower you on your path towards, it's normally some kind of justice in some sense of it, whether it's personal or on systemic justice or whatever it might be. So, Caroline, what are the options for the empowering moments?
Most empowering moment, we have, I believe, 7 nominees. Olenna telling Daenerys to be a dragon. Lyanna refusing to provide provisions for the army. Daenerys telling off Tyrion for his shitty plan to save Jon from his shitty plan. Sansa ordering Arya to murder Littlefinger. Arya dismissing the Frey women before murdering their entire house. Quote, in quotes. Cheryl kissing Tyene to death while Arya watches. And Sam embracing his father's words and quitting the Citadel because he's tired of reading about the accomplishments of better men.
And this was kind of a runaway too. With 32.2% of the votes, it was Sam embracing his father's words and quitting the Citadel because he's tired of reading about the accomplishments of better men.
Ooh, yay.
And then I'll also say there was a dead tie for third place, and fourth place only beat those out by three second place only beat those out by 3 votes, so I'll just read those 3. Mm-hmm. Arya dismissing the Frey women before killing House Frey was very narrowly number 2, and then the tied for third was Olenna telling Dany to be a dragon, and Lyanna refusing to provide provisions for the army.
You know, they were all great. They're all very strong contenders.
Yeah, nobody wins any prizes for guessing which one I voted for.
It was Sam. You were, really mad, right?
yeah, I voted for Sam.
No, I voted for Lyanna.
Oh, seriously? I thought you were furious about
that. I was, but I always vote for Lyanna because she's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, I mean, I voted for Sam. I'm actually really glad Sam won, too. I was a little bit worried that because, he's a guy, people might not have voted for him because, I don't know. Feminism means female empowerment. Only, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But Sam embracing his abuser's message and, that's what he's drawing for strength now was just not only unearned, but it was a giant fuck you to... Mm-hmm. His entire plotline. I'm really, really glad he won.
Yeah.
Definitely my vote. Lyanna was just...
special.
Guys, soldiers need socks. I don't know how to make this clearer.
She's not going to sit around knitting socks for you.
No, it's not... The problem isn't that she doesn't want to knit socks. That's fine. The problem is that she, just disparages the entire need, that anybody would want to knit socks, because who needs socks?
I actually thought Olenna telling Daenerys to be a dragon was going to win because, what? Holy fucking useless advice, Olenna. What is anyone going to do with this? How is this empowering?
How is this, applicable? How do you go out and be like, I'm going to be a dragon today? How? What does that mean?
You're going to fly and eat some sheep.
You just think to yourself, what would a dragon do? And then you do that.
They would fly and eat some sheep.
They would fly and eat sheep, exactly.
And, changing your gender, right? Isn't that something dragons do?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
This next award, the Carol Award for Why Can't I Stop Laughing, is very prestigious. It dates back to 3 years. And it actually got its origin with probably the most, tight category possible. The nominees back then were... Bad Pussy, Snake Foo, Spooky Skeletons at Hardhome, Oliver telling the truth about the butt birthmark, Stoneman attacking Tyrion and Jorah, and then the Ides of Ollie actually happening. So, this is a category with a long history in Game of Thrones. So our nominees this year were Arya gaining 6 inches of height as she cosplays as Walter Filch. Sandor dramatically retelling his HDTV clear visions in the fire. Bran and Sam info dumping while the music swells. Cheryl walking on her floor map, pointing towards her enemies.
Alaria to the south with her brood of bitches.
The one white figuring out the lake was refrozen after Sandor threw rocks. Tyrion being sad at Jon and Dany having sex instead of playing Scrabble with him. And Euron enjoying the adulation of the people of Carol's Landing.
Oh my god, Cheryl's that Landing. Was so funny.
So this was a horse race between first and second. First place ended up winning by about 30 votes, so with 30% also. It was Tyrion being sad at Jon and Dany having sex instead of playing Scrabble with him.
Sometimes we're concerned.
What's important to note, number two is actually Sam and Bran info dumping while the music swells.
Which so is the exact same, like, yeah, it's the exact same moment. They're like happening simultaneously. Yeah. But we've discussed this in previous Carol Awards. Is there a concern that the way that we phrase the nominees kind of gives them an unfair heads up, leg up?
I'm 100% convinced it's because I call that Scrabble.
Yeah, I remember the Spoon of Doom.
The Spoon of Doom! Oh man,
I'm a little disappointed that my pick that Cheryl walking on her floor map did better. Because it did to horribly. Me, it's that's like the funniest. I want like a screenshot of her walking on her floor map to frame in my office.
Like, I don't remember if I voted for that one or Euron and enjoying the adulations of the people of Cheryl's Landing. I know, but that was just so fucking funny.
Cheryl came in sixth place, but no, I mean, floor map is like, hilarious.
Spread arm thing. It was like, yeah, look at me. I got my niece on a leash. It's just like, oh, it's so funny.
I'm actually surprised Sandor dramatically retelling his HDTV experience, like, visions wasn't funnier. Like, maybe I was the only one laughing by it. It was just so stupid. Because it wasn't just like, oh, I'm kind of making something out. He's like, yes, I'm seeing the entire army of the dead. They're walking. They just turned east. There's a big mountain. You're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Can we watch any of that? No.
That was all just like a big fucking pile of rotten pumpkins over there.
No, remember how the mountain was shaped like an arrow?
Unlike every other mountain. I'll never get over that.
I'm not surprised Boat Sex won by this much and across two nominees, basically. So, yeah. That's... Oh man, boat sex. Speaking of which, our next category is the best boat sex setup. So
for the best hashtag boat sex setup.
Hashtag boat sex. Julia, I know you want to read these off.
I do. Oh, so much setup. This was so organic. All right. The nominees are when Jon and Daenerys talked in circles about kneeling. When Jon and Daenerys talked in circles about kneeling again, but this time Jon was allowed to mine dragonglass. When Davos implied that Jon liked Daenerys' boobs.
Oh my god.
When Missandei and Daenerys bonded over their feelings for hot guys. When Jon showed Daenerys cave drawings. When Daenerys tried to save Jon with her dragons. When Daenerys and Jon held hands after he kneeled to her. When Daenerys told Jon that he was an idiot for telling Cheryl about his kneeling to her. When Daenerys told Jon that she respected him for telling Cheryl about his kneeling to her. When Daenerys and Jon breathe the same air on a boat.
And the winner. There was only three options that did really well. The winner with 33.4% was when Jon and Dany breathe the same air on a boat.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, that was when, like, she saw his cool scars, right? Chick stick scars.
The runner-up with 21.9% was when Davos implied that Jon liked Dany's boobies.
Yep.
And then just two votes behind that was when Jon showed Dany cave drawings.
Hey, that scene was hot, because I projected Arya onto it.
Yeah, I mean, like, and it should be noted that when Jon and Dany held hands, that's also the scene where he asked her, like, are you infertile? So they're basically just, like, he's just asking her if she's on birth control.
Yeah.
So they can fuck. God, guys, this romance was so bad. I voted for Davos implying that Jon likes her boobs.
I think I voted for cave drawings. This is one of the ones where I took me a while.
Yeah.
But I think I did cave drawings.
Dany was pretty bad, too. Like, oh, man.
I definitely voted for the cave drawings.
It was, the whole thing was bad.
All right, speaking of bad, Caroline, you want to tell us about our next category?
The best Euron personality. So... So your actual real-life Euron Greyjoy never made it onto our screens, but we got multiple personalities from the alleged Euron Greyjoy on the screens.
And that's not even a joke. The actor literally said that he's purposely playing multiple personalities.
Because really? All psychopaths have multiple personality disorder or something like that?
Yeah. He said all the psychopaths I've known have had multiple personality disorder.
What?
I'm surprised that this is what he said.
Fellow has very interesting friends, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Alright. Okay, dude. Alright, best year on personalities for... Jack Sparrow, Vicious Fighter, Six-Year-Old's Birthday Party Magician, Fake Zombie Phobe.
Alright, so the winner with 45% of the vote was Jack Sparrow. And then the runner-up with 41.9% of the vote was Six-Year-Old Birthday Party's Magician. So those two really cleaned up. I wanted to clarify, the Six-Year-Old Birthday Party's Magician is in the scene where he's bringing the sand snakes, like, bound up through King's Landing. And he's like, look at me.
He looks like Job from Arrested Development.
Yeah, I compared him to that dude in... I compared him to that dude in Best in Show, Michael Higgins' character. Yeah. But, Jack Sparrow won. That was his first scene where he was, like, talking about fingers in the bum and just, like, being generally ridiculous.
Well, fingers in the bum was when he brought the chicks on the leash, right?
Oh, was it? Oh, goddammit. I'm confusing his multiple personalities.
I mean, he's so good at these multiple personalities. It's just
the performance is so nuanced. Okay, so Jack Sparrow was when he was like, oh, I've got to win me a bride. Like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, fun fact, we still don't know why Euron wants to be with Cheryl at all.
Yeah, wasn't he, like, planning to get with Deadpan last season?
Yeah, he was.
Reasons.
But then he was, like, whining about his niece and nephew stealing that idea from him, and Cheryl's like, okay... Oh my god, it's so bad. Alright, so this is a 3-year Carol Award also, this Golden Carol, currently held by Varys Marks for the past 2 years, is the Saint Tyrion Ultimate Fan Club Award. So, we all know Tyrion's a perfect infallible character,
yes.
Right? So, who in the show recognizes it too? And the choices this year were Larry, who he convinces to go out on a limb with Cheryl, Varys Marks, who knows that he's the only thing standing between us and chaos. Daenerys, who wouldn't have chosen a coward as her hand. Jorah, who remembers the fun day as slaves. Jon, who appreciates him not raping Sansa. Sansa, who appreciates not being raped by him. And the winner, and I can't believe
this is so special.
3 years in a row.
Yeah, this is a special Varys Carol Marks moment.
33.5%. Hard earned, my friend. Hard earned. But literally, your entire character is just filleting him, so that's not shocking.
Yep. This is the one I voted for. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
There really
there's really no competition. I'm surprised that second place came so close.
Yeah, second place, so about 35 votes behind it, was Sansa, who appreciated not being raped by him. Which she did. That was really nice of her.
That was really nice of him.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but no, I mean, Varys Marks did say he's the only thing standing between us and chaos. That's a line. That's a line from this stupid fucking show. The good news about Tyrion, though, is that he actually, everything turned to shit that he suggested this year.
But nobody cared. No one was like, hey, maybe you're horrible at this fucking job. You know, he's still doing all this crap. No one was like, hey, wait a minute. You notice how we have no armies anymore because of your stupid bullshit?
Yeah.
So, I guess they didn't notice that.
For like a split second, Daenerys was like, maybe you really don't want them to die. And then she forgot about that and moved on.
Then she just wanted to talk to him in her dead panty face. And he's in love with her or something. I don't know.
Something?
I swear to God.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, this is another Carol Awards classic category coming up. The coveted Golden Carol for the most creative use of teleportation. And this is usually one of our more competitive Carol Awards too. And this year was no exception. So, Julia, what did we have?
Well, for the most creative use of teleportation, by teleportation we mean improbably short travel times between locations, given the established world building. Nominee number one, Euron's Armada sailing past Dragonstone to attack Yara's fleet. Euron's Armada sailing past Dragonstone to Casterly Rock to attack the Unsullied fleet. Larry receiving a blowjob in King's Landing, marching to Casterly Rock to gather his troops, then marching to Highgarden, and then returning to King's Landing, all in the span of 2 weeks. Gendry making it back to Eastwatch in a few hours after having traveled for at least 2 days. The Raven flying all the way from Eastwatch to Dragonstone in 1 day. Daenerys and her dragons flying all the way back without Daenerys getting hurled off. The Unsullied army arriving at King's Landing after being trapped at Casterly Rock.
Yeah, and this was close, but edging out a victory with 26.2%, we've got Gendry making it back to Eastwatch in a few hours after having traveled for at least 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
The runner-up was Larry, running around Westeros with his armies, and right after that was the Raven flying all the way from Eastwatch to Dragonstone in a day.
I think this is the most surprising winner to me. I can't believe Larry didn't win.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit surprised too.
Well, I think, Larry had more time, right? He had 2 weeks.
Yes, but he crossed the continent twice.
See, I voted for the Raven. Because how does a little bird go some distance? And
I forgot if I voted for Euron's armada sailing past Dragonstone to Casterly Rock, or if I voted for the Unsullied arriving at King's Landing.
So, guys, to put this in perspective, the winner 2 years ago was Jorah and Tyrion's dinghy going from Volantis to Valyria and then washing up where they could walk to the marine. And, I'm looking at that now, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, those were all sort of, next to each other, in a very broad sense.
No, they're not. At all.
This is all wormholes. I wouldn't say next to each other.
I mean, in a broad, very, very broad way, they're all on
Essos is that part huge. Of the map.
Yeah. Well, apparently not, but, the way people travel.
But, Larry receiving a blowjob, then running to Castle Rock, getting his troops, running to Highgarden, sacking it, then running back to King's Landing to deliver the gold. It's like, what the fuck? And yeah, Gendry making it back to Eastwatch, that's the winner. Uh-huh. That is pretty egregious. He didn't even know the land!
But he was the fastest runner.
How did they know that?
I told you, they did CrossFit together!
Oh my god!
They took applications before they went on the white mission. And his said fastest runner.
Yes. All right, our next category is also a Carol Award classic. It's the most creative use of telepathy, one of our more popular awards.
Yes.
So, Caroline, what do we have for that?
Most creative use of telepathy. We have Tyrion knowing Larry, who had fire breathed directly onto him and was then knocked into the water in full armor, was alive. Jon knowing Gendry, who he had just met, was the fastest runner, as we were talking about. Hot Pie knowing Sharrow blew up the Sept. Davos knowing Gendry was working in King's Landing. Euron knowing where Yara's fleet was going to be. Larry knowing Tyrion would take Casterly Rock. Bronn being in communication with Tyrion to set up meetings.
This was pretty tight between a few of them, but towards the last couple days of voting, this one really pulled away, and that's Tyrion knowing that Larry, who had fire breathed directly onto him and was knocked in water in full armor, survived. Mm-hmm. The runner-up was Jon knowing Gendry was the fastest runner, because it's not reasonable, Joya. They weren't doing CrossFit. But, this was one of the ones that, I didn't even think about as the show was going on, but then the longer you think about why would Tyrion think that Larry was alive, the dumber it gets.
Yeah. I actually voted for third place, Bronn being in communication with Tyrion to set up messages. That was one of those moments while I was watching the episode that completely broke my suspension of disbelief. And I was just like, mm-hmm. Wait a minute, how did Tyrion... Are they pen pals? What?
How is your belief suspended?
You know what
I mean. I think I voted for the winner here, because that was just like... I don't know, that struck me as a big
I voted oversight. For that too, just because it was one of those ones that the longer I was thinking about, I was like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. And then like later on, like Tyrion and Bronn have a reunion. Bronn is just like, oh yeah, I'm with Larry now.
And Tyrion's snarky about it. Yeah.
They didn't discuss this before? They haven't been discussing this in their messages that they've apparently been exchanging this whole time? Anyway, yes.
It's like Galadriel and Elrond. That's just, they can just do this sometimes. It's fine. All right. The next category is the best. I forgot. I have Amnesia Award. And this award title has never been particularly clever, but there's just sometimes that characters do things where it's like, did you forget this happened? And yes, the answer is yes, they did. So our choices this year are all the small folk of King's Landing haven't forgotten that Cheryl blew up the Sept. I'm not actually sure if they did. I think they might have just been okay with it. Bran forgetting John forgetting Bran was alive, the scene after he mentioned his two dead brothers, you would think that he would have said three if he had thought that Bran was dead. Everyone forgetting Cheryl was guarded by a zombie and then trying to convince her with a spooky white.
Mm-hmm.
Euron forgetting it was Jorah, not Larry, rushing through the breach during the Greyjoy rebellions. Wow, we're book snobs. Randall Tarly forgetting Targaryens are from Westeros. And Sam needing to see a map of Dragonstone to realize there was dragon glass there after having been told by Stannis already. And not to leave you in suspension too long, but that was the winner with 34.8%, second place being all the small folk of King's Landing. Yeah. Not remembering.
I mean, I don't see how anything else could have won.
No.
It was just so... It was like everyone... The casual viewers were screaming it at the screen.
Yeah, so, I mean, I voted for Randall Tarly for getting the Targaryens from Westeros.
That's pretty bad.
I mean, I thought... Apparently me and 56 other people thought that was really important.
But no one else. And nobody voted for our super book snub one.
Yeah, the super... Okay, so we were just so mad when Euron was talking about...
Okay, four people voted for it.
When Euron was talking about the Greyjoy Rebellions and he credited Larry with Jorah's actions. I don't know why we even, like... It's not that important, but it was just like, what the fuck?
Was it established in the show, though, or is that just like
probably
a...
not.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, they had been talking about it in season one or season two, I think.
Yeah, because that's his backstory with his spoiled wife.
Right.
That's how we got his knighthood.
I'm pretty sure they talked about it, because I know Jamie was talking about it with someone at some point.
Oh, okay.
Back when he was Jamie.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, Sam actually said, like, oh, yeah, that's right. Stannis told me. I just forgot. That's pretty bad, dude.
No, but just considering the fact that, like, the only reason we can see that he's even at the Citadel is so he can have that revelation, you know?
All right, guys. Anyway, so the Game of Thrones is known for its high production value, yes. And its cast and crew work round the clock to give us the quality show that we know this to be, and that includes the props department. So, the Golden Carol for the best prop. What are the options, Julia?
Best props are... The Valyrian steel dagger from season one. Ed Sheeran's rabbit. Cheryl's floor map. The white Toten backpack. The Dragonstone book of circled dragon glass. The High Septon's diary about Rhaegar. The tiny robot bone Jon held up for Daenerys. And Arya's messenger bag full of faces.
And the winner, and this guts me to say, but I'm saying it, with 35.2% is Arya's messenger bag of faces.
I really wanted Cheryl's floor map to clean up.
I know.
I wanted it too.
I love the floor map. It's my favorite.
Yeah, that came in third with 19.7%, and in second place with 26.6% was the High Septon's diary about Rhaegar. But look, guys, the messenger bag of faces was fucking hilarious.
It was hilarious.
It was a literal messenger bag.
And they just looked so... Those faces looked so cheap.
Like, it looks like Griffin's laptop bag. Maybe I need to have a conversation with him.
I was going to say, have you ever looked inside? Are you sure he has a laptop there?
Well, he hasn't empoweredly threatened to cut my face off and wear it yet, so...
Yet. No, I wanted the map to win. That's the kind of thing where it's like, if I was ever, like, rich for no reason and had, like, a room where nothing was in it, I would get that map painted.
You get the map.
Just so I can stand down and laugh.
Dance around pointing to your enemies. Oh, God.
It's so impractical.
I'm just remembering last year, the stupid stag one.
Yeah. Oh, I voted for the stag.
I wanted the tiny little bell to win, but it's fine. All right. Caroline, you want to introduce this next category?
Oh, the best gumbo ingredient. I think we need a little explanation of what the gumbo is.
Yeah. So I'm just being a total asshole. There is a review at the end of Eastwatch when it ended with that action shot of, like, the random mishmash of people that were north of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all like, wow, this is a hot mess and what a stupid episode that just got all these people randomly together. But this review said something like, you know, in a way, it's exciting to see this character gumbo. It's like, they call it like an exciting character gumbo. So, okay. What are our ingredients?
The best gumbo ingredient nominations are Jon, Tormund, Beric, Sandor, Gendry, Thoros, and Jorah.
I gotta say, I still flinch every time somebody says Tormund to refer to that bearded Icelandic fellow.
I know. But Gendry won very comfortably by almost 80 votes. And here's the thing, too. Vincent Expendable had been on this list because he's that extra that ate it for no reason.
Uh-huh.
And I took him off because I was worried that would have been one of the ones where our wording actually would have influenced voters too much. So that was not an oversight. That was a purposeful omission, and I'm questioning it. However, that said, I still think Gendry would have won anyway, just because what the fuck is Gendry doing there?
Why is he here?
I don't know. I voted for Thoros just because I like Thoros. So
you're biased, Caroline.
He died, dude.
I know. I'm sad.
I'm sorry about that.
I voted for Gendry too.
I voted for Gendry. What the fuck is Gendry doing here?
What's Thoros doing here? What are any of them doing here? It's a character gumbo.
Oh, man. So we've got another
But it's Carol. Like a character gumbo made by, like, somebody from Maine who's never even heard of Louisiana.
And we're going to try to have Carol Award t-shirts done for this. Or I'm sorry, character gumbo shirts for this Carol Awards. That's what we're going to try to have that be our official merch.
Mm-hmm.
If not, our next category we will have merch for, too. And actually, we should have merch by the time you're listening to this available in the store. It is the most plausible impossibility.
And what's the origin of this award, Kylie?
So the director of Beyond the Wall was asked about the, like, ridiculous
Beyond
logistics.
Beyond the Wall is that wonderful sixth episode.
Oh my god, it was so bad. And the director just, like, gave us a word salad back about how everyone's too focused on the Raven flying speed. And see, what you go for are plausible impossibilities. And that's a lot better than impossible plausibilities.
And it's all okay because the show is successful.
It's like, if the show wasn't doing well, I'd be worried, but the show's doing well. So we wanted you to vote for the most plausible impossibility, which are as follows. One lone white not belonging to the killed White Walker, being the one to be captured. Gendry running all the way to Eastwatch, an unfamiliar land. The Raven flying all the way to Dragonstone in one day. Deadpan and her dragons flying all the way back without Deadpan getting hurled off. The Lake of Plot Convenience remaining unfrozen for most of the night. The Army of the Dead not noticing when the Lake of Plot Convenience had refrozen. Jonny surviving his plunge into icy water. The Night Kings hitting Viserion and not Drogon. And finally, the Army of the Dead wrapping chains around Viserion's corpse and dragging him out. This was a horse race, and the winner only won by 5 votes. So with 18%, the winner is the one lone white not belonging to the White Walker that was killed, so that it would stay alive and they could capture.
Poor Skyr. Remember Skyr.
Right behind it was the Army of the Dead wrapping chains.
Yeah. I don't think I have to point this out, but I will anyway. This is all for one plotline in one episode.
Yeah. That's the idea that, like, what the fuck are you talking about, director?
Yeah. What did you guys vote for?
I think I want to say the one lone white. I think I voted for the winner. Because that was, like, such a fucking bullshit. First of all, when was that ever established that, like, oh, if you were personally rezzed by Steve?
They like, talked about it right after it happened.
Right after it happened. That's not establishing it, Joya. And then the idea that there's only one lone white, like, was he lost? Was he on a school trip? Is he a foster? How is this happening?
He's a foster white. Oh, that'd be great. No, I heard a funny pop and it was like, they always have one that isn't theirs in case they get killed or something. It's like,
why would that be useful? Because what is one white? Because
then everybody knows about Skyr dying.
Because it can scream, right?
Yeah.
No. I think what cracks me up about this, because the Army of the Dead wrapping chains around Viserion's corpse and dragging him out was pretty tantalizing too. And what cracks me about this is the director was like, everyone was focused on the Raven flying speed. No, dude, there is so much more we were looking at.
Like, there were so many things happening that were bad.
Yes. Oh, man. It's like, hey, Julia, we got another new category. You want to introduce this one?
It's the best course at Maester's College. Everybody knows that Old Town State is the finest in post-secondary education in all of Westeros.
God.
But, it's College of Maester Studies has some very interesting courses. The nominees are chamber clock cleaning, book stapping, book stacking, soup slopping, cleaning up after autopsies, feeding plague victim patients in feeding plague patients in boxes, copying books as a punishment for healing people.
And the winner, with 39%, is copying books as a punishment for healing people.
Yeah.
Right behind it was chamber pot cleaning, and I'm actually really happy that copying books won, because it shows that our voters are rather sophisticated.
Exactly.
Which course would you guys want to take? I want to take soup slopping.
Oh, I'm definitely down for feeding plague patients in boxes.
I'm all for the book stacking. As long as I get to, like, organize the books in some fashion while I'm stacking them. Like, do I stack them in alphabetical order? I'd be all over that.
You have to pick all the secret ones that have the notes about the secret marriages of crown princes, and make sure to put those in the secret section, you know.
Yes.
So cleaning up after autopsies was, like, the closest to an actual course he took.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. And that was just being lectured at by Slughorn, so I don't know.
No, it was, like, being in the room while, like, Slughorn muttered to himself about alcoholics. But whatever.
Yeah, that was really weird. All right. The next award.
I think you have to explain the award for the OOC excellence.
Sure, what is OOC?
An OOC? OOC?
What, are you asking me?
Yes. We are.
I don't actually know what it stands for.
Out of character.
Oh, it stands for out of character.
Okay, I knew its meaning, but I didn't know what it stood for. So yeah, I mean, basically that's it. It stands for out of character, so someone who's not their character.
And what do we mean here? We mean the character from the books, or do we mean the established characters from the show?
I treated it as the books.
I treated it as the books, too.
Yeah, because, I mean...
And from what I could tell from the winner, too, yeah.
Yeah, that would require them to have an established character in the show.
That's true, that's a good point.
So the award for the out of character excellence. It's a long list. Okay. And everyone's in quotes. Cersei Lannister. Jaime Lannister. Tyrion Lannister. Varys. Davos. Arya Stark. Bran Stark. Sansa Stark. Brienne. Jon Snow. Daenerys Targaryen. Ellaria Sand. Yara Asha Greyjoy. Olenna, and Sandor.
This was a runaway, and this is a really hard category to run away in, because there's so many. Arya Stark won with 32.1% of the votes. The next runner-up was Sansa with 10%. So, we have some Stark fans voting, I think.
I think Arya was the clear one, though, because it was like...
Oh, yeah.
So shenanigans, especially this season.
I mean, I think I still voted for Ellaria just because I'm still not over that, but...
I mean, she performed well, Bran performed well, Larry and Carol, they always do well in this one. But Arya was, like, she threatened to cut her sister's face off and wear it. I don't think I can emphasize that enough.
When I was thinking about it, I was trying to, remember the different scenes and everything, and it was like just the messenger bag of faces and all the weird conversations Arya had. It, like, every line out of her mouth was so strange. So I mean,
remember, there was a legitimate honeypot that she really was the waif in disguise because her mannerisms were exactly the same as that asshole.
Yeah, that's because she was nobody now.
She's no one.
Yeah.
But is she no one? Because didn't she tell Jaqen that she was Arya?
But he said she was no one.
She's like, nope.
Let's not relitigate that plotline. I'm actually surprised at how well Sansa performed in this. Not because I think she's particularly in character, but she had a consistent character. And
this season she did.
Yeah, this season she did. And it wasn't like horribly anti-Sansa in the book. She was at least like reasonable, you know? Kind of.
And she was good at like running shit.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think she was in character, don't get me wrong. I just don't think, like, compared against, you know, Ellaria or Bran, she was that out of character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? Think about it. I'm surprised Bran didn't do better. Because Bran didn't, like, have a character.
Well, he's the three-eyed raven now.
What does that mean? It's
difficult to explain. I'm so proud of that entry in our Booksop glossary, I'll be honest. All right, speaking of Sansa, the next category is for the most duplicitous Sansa action.
So
here's the thing. For some reason, we were told by a lot of people that Sansa couldn't be trusted, whether it was Arya dredging up her past quote-unquote betrayals of their family, or Jon telling Sansa that she sounds like Cersei. What? Yeah, Sansa was a shady, shady person this year. And here's what she did. And you tell me what you think was the most heinous. when Sansa suggested not giving castles to the Karsark and Umber children so they could reward those who sided with them in the battle. When Sansa suggested not tearing down the old Umber and Karsark castles, per Royce's suggestion. When Sansa told Jon not to go to Dragonstone since he could easily get taken prisoner. When Sansa took care of grain stores and armor making. When Sansa told Bran he was the rightful Lord of Winterfell. When Sansa looked slightly concerned after Bran confirmed Arya murdered people. When Sansa had an expression on her face watching Arya and Brienne duel. When Sansa told the Weathervane lords that she didn't want to be their queen and they should wait for Jon to return. When Sansa looked scared as her sister threatened to cut her face off. When Sansa told Arya she was the bravest person she knew.
She's the sneaky one. She's
so sneaky.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's always framed as, like, hyper-ambition. So the winner was obviously when Sansa looked scared as Arya told her to cut her face off. Arya said she was going to cut her face off. And the runner-up being when Sansa warned Jon not to go into a trap. But this one was like any of them could have taken it at any moment.
I mean, this pie chart is very pleasing looking.
I
voted for when Sansa told the Weathervane lords that she didn't want to be queen because just like she's like they offered her what she's supposed to have wanted and she said no.
Like, I said when she told Bran he was the Lord of Winterfell.
Yeah.
Because no one else was even around for that conversation. She's just like, oh yeah, you're the Lord. And he's like, no, I'm the Three-Eyed Raven. And that's what she's like shrugging. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. She was more like, you know, we have to make like new seating arrangements because you're the Lord now. I have to plan this.
Oh my God.
I don't remember which one I actually ended up voting for. I sat on this one for the longest time and I kept switching back and forth. And I think I ended up with the Weathervane Lords. But it could have easily been not tearing down the castles.
That one's just so funny to me, because, yeah, like Julia said, it's like, here's everything that you're accusing this character of being offered, and she was like, no.
Well, Arya seems to have agreed with the fandom on that, because she thought that was super suspicious.
Yeah, Arya's, like, making a poop face at her while she's like, no, I don't want to be your queen. Like, Arya, what the fuck do you want her to do? And she's like, you should have murdered them all. Like, what? Are we supposed to agree with you? All right. Julia, what is the next Golden Carol for?
Well, the best Golden Carol is also a classic. The best use of a canonical minor character, right? So these are characters that are from the books, the dreaded books, who they stick in the show sometimes at random. And we just want to know which of these canonical minor characters were best used.
All right, then.
It's pretty self-explanatory. Well, the nominees are Sandor becoming a fire reader, Melisandre going to Dragonstone to theorycraft and then leave, Thoros dying of hypothermia, Beric bonding with Jon over dying, Gendry coming back to go on the White Hunt, Bronn overcoming his greed to fight a dragon, Jorah being forgiven by Jon for slaving and being offered Longclaw, Randall and Dickon Tarly getting roasted alive, and Tycho complimenting Cheryl for her keen rulership.
This was also a very competitive category.
Yeah, these are all awesome nominations.
But in the end, Gendry won again. He's doing very well this Carol Awards. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a breakout star. He's our Davos of this year, if you will.
Yeah, he's doing almost as well as Rhaegar.
Almost as well as Ilaria for saying weak men will never rule Dorne to last year. And like, yeah, I'm sorry, I have to agree with that. I think I voted for Mel, who came in number two, but Gendry really was just like, why the fuck is he back?
Yeah.
I voted for Jorah being forgiven by Jon because it was so unnecessary to anything that was actually happening. And it was like, I think it was supposed to be there for hashtag Moat Sex's sake, right? Like, the old boyfriend giving his permission or something like that? Is that what happened?
Randall and Dickon's pretty egregious, too, because they recast Dickon just for this.
No. They recast Dickon so they can make that dick joke, and then they had to kill him somehow.
Why could they have used the old Dickon to make a dick joke?
He wouldn't come back.
Okay. I don't blame him.
Who would not come back for Game of Thrones, though? That's stupid.
Be free.
Even I would come back for Game of Thrones. Like, come on.
Melisandre theorycrafting was pretty bad. If anyone doesn't remember, she came and she was, like, talking about, like, whether prince or princess is the translation for the prince that was promised. Like, if it's gender neutral or if it's prince specifically. That was cool. And then she literally was like, I have to go, but I'll be back.
Like, we are destined to die in this country. Peace.
Yeah, that was weird. All right, next category, Caroline.
Best use of resources. All right, because this show has a wonderful history of really applying its money in good ways and doing the absolute best it can to give us, you know, all the wonderful things we desperately need for the show to make sense. So the nominees for best use of resources are Nymeria showing no interest in Arya for one scene, Cheryl's map set piece, Casterly Rock, Highgarden, Zombie Polar Bear, and Zombie Viserion.
Yeah, so, okay, with 42.8% of the vote, Nymeria won. And I just have no faith in Carol Award voters anymore.
Cheryl's map didn't win?
Cheryl's map?
What is wrong with Cheryl's map? We've given you so many chances to pick the right answer.
Okay, wait. I just want to let everyone know. I haven't seen these results. I specifically didn't look at them so I could be shocked. And I am shocked. Yeah. Guys, Cheryl's map. It's the best.
The best part about Cheryl's map is that they just kept contriving reasons for them to go back in there.
Right. And it has no roof. It's in the middle of the winter and there's no roof. And why? Why did
she do
this?
It only starts snowing at the end.
That's the only good scene of the whole season.
It's an impluvium.
Yeah, looking at this list, I kind of feel like we should have added the dragon pit. But I'm actually really shocked Nymeria won that handily, because I would have thought that at least zombie Viserion would have done okay.
I mean, I guess it's sort of they had to use the resources on Zombie Viserion because they needed that, but they didn't need Nymeria. So it's sort of best use of resources in an ironic kind of way.
Look, Casterly Rock was pretty bad too. Casterly Rock existed for a scene.
Oh my god. I mean, just Casterly Rock as a concept for a castle is so fucking amazing. Why did they not do that? It boggles my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why did they paint a giant map on the floor? You can't use that for military planning. It's too big. Guys, it's too big. There's a reason there's a table at Dragonstone.
All right, our next category.
You sound so excited all of a sudden.
For 3 years in a row, Game of Thrones has been delighting us with revenge. Vengeful revenge, empowering revenge, sad revenge. But vengeful revenge is really what we focus on for the best of the best. So the Golden Carol nominees for the best and most vengeful revenge this year were Cheryl kissing Tyene to death while Ilaria watched, Arya poisoning all of House Frey, Sansa sentencing Littlefinger to death, and Sandor threatening his zombie brother. And the winner, with 37.6%, Arya poisoning all of House Frey.
Best cold open ever. It even edges out the Shire as a cold open. And that's not easy to do.
No.
Cheryl kissing Tyene came in a close second, 34.8%. So that did well, and I see why, because that was the most directly revenge.
Yeah.
But
the most meandering revenge speech ever.
The first year we had the... Sorry, go.
All right. I was going to say, the thought process behind what must have happened to get Arya to that place where she could poison all of House Frey is the best.
Was literally cosplaying him for 2 weeks, yeah.
Yes.
Did Planning she have to share a bed with that, terrified child bride? I mean, this is really dark. So, the first year that we had the most vengeful revenge, by the way, Sansa was the winner for marrying her enemy. Just... Fun trip down memory lane. All right, Julia.
The next category is they contributed so much, or rather, contributed so much award. This is for characters who totally justify their existence within this narrative, totally. And the nominees are Melisandre, Missandei, Grey Worm, Davos, Maester Slughorn, Brienne, Olenna, Thoros, and Beric Dondarrion.
So this was a complete three-way race the entire time. Mm-hmm. The winner only won by 5 votes with 23.2%. Melisandre.
Yes.
Right behind her was Brienne, and right behind Brienne was Maester Slughorn.
Yes. I voted for Maester Slughorn just because, Melisandre had a point at some point. And so did Brienne, kind of. But why does Maester Slughorn exist at all? Why does the plot line with the Citadel exist at all? It's even a better question.
There's a nominee for most egregious oversight, and one of the, and that's from this category. Uh-huh. And I feel like had we included her, she would have won. But
yeah,
Melisandre was pretty bad, dude, this year. Like, okay, at one point she had a purpose, but like, come on, she just showed up, was like, I ship it, and then left.
It's very important for everyone to know that Melisandre ships it.
Brienne existed to, I don't know, shame Larry or something?
I think, I don't know. I think Brienne was more, they contributed so much than Melisandre. Because I feel like, what did Brienne actually do?
She had a sword fight with Arya.
Remember really how Brienne has a sword fight with Arya?
We left off Pod.
We did. But he contributed so much.
But Pod did contribute so much. He brought the message back.
The message?
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry, I'm getting confused with Gendry. Sorry.
That's Gendry, they kind of look alike, though. No, I got it.
They do. I'm sorry.
No, Pod is just, like, a weird appendage of Brienne's at this point.
Okay, well, Pod contributed. He allowed, you know, all those dick jokes to be made.
Yeah, he allowed Bronn to, like, work through his internalized homophobia.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, the next award is another Carol Award classic. Caroline, you want to...
The devil is in the details.
You might have to take a break in the middle to take a drink of water. There's a lot of nominees.
I have water. So, this, you know, this is a show that's very detailed and complicated, and they put so much effort into it and everything that, you know, sometimes the details just get away from them. So here are some of the wonderful details that they slipped into this season. The Iron Bank of Braavos didn't want the slave trade disrupted. The Golden Company is happy to fight for the Lannisters. A girl replaced Walder Frey for 2 weeks and nobody noticed. A siege on King's Landing is more humane than a direct targeted attack. Daenerys needs a truce with Cheryl because otherwise she'd lose gains that never existed. Daenerys is a foreign invader, despite being born in Westeros and using her family's name and history there to defend her claim. Cheryl invited Euron to King's Landing, knowing a marriage proposal was coming, only to reject said proposal. Jon insisting on going to Dragonstone to mine Dragonglass, but not bringing anyone to do it. Tywin built Casterly Rock and there were no sewers before Tyrion. The White Moot was fully arranged before the mission to capture took place. Rhaegar was able to annul his marriage and marry in secret despite having two legal heirs.
And... let me just say, that was the runaway.
Yeah.
That was it.
Landslide.
Rhaegar is cleaning up.
39.4%. I mean, I don't blame anyone. Yeah,
Rhaegar is like the Titanic of this Carol Awards.
I'm pretty sure I voted for that too. I mean, the thing is, this award kind of started out as like book snobbery complaints, like Ollie, fetch me a block was like the first one or whatever.
Yeah.
Ollie, bring me my sword. That's what it was. Yeah. And now it's kind of spiraled into, like, whatever the fuck this is.
Well, we have a few books on deep dive, like, the whole Iron Bank doesn't want the slave trade disrupted and the Golden Company fighting for the Lannisters. Yeah. That's very book snobby stuff.
But, like, the truce one is not book snobby as much as, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But the Iron Bank came in second. I know that's a book snobby thing, but that came in second place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, they do kind of get into that on the show, how, like, the Braavos was founded by escaped slaves and everything like that. So it's
important. All of it was just so stupid. Like, who would back Cheryl, who just blew up the fucking set? Like, she's
especially
a better
if her argument is like, yeah, stability. Mm-hmm. I'm so stable. Yeah.
But no, I mean, Rhaegar with the annulment, just like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. You have two kids, but you're the prince. They're like, they're gonna one day inherit whatever. We'll write it in my notebook that no one knows exists. Mm-hmm. All right. The most go moment. So, this is an Emilia Clarke quote from 3 years ago, I think. Or no, from last year. She said this is season 6. She said it was every minute. Go. Mm-hmm. And people say similar things about season 7.
Oh, like every single interview was saying.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's just nonstop action. So the most go moment of season 7's nominees are Daenerys taking 5 minutes to walk through the vacant Dragonstone. The entire sequence of Arya being told she wasn't allowed into Winterfell for no reason and then sneaking in anyway. That was also a trip down memory lane, I think.
Yeah.
Arya and Brienne's duel. Davos trying to talk his way out of King's Landing using fermented crappie. The 30 minutes of walking and talking in various combinations before capturing a white. The 30-minute long white moot.
Oh, this is a competitive category.
This is, well, not. I mean, the winner won by almost double, and that was with 35.8%. We've got 30 minutes of walking and talking in various combinations.
Yeah.
However, nearly a three-place tie afterwards was the white moot, Arya being told she wasn't allowed in, and Davos's fermented crab meat.
Yeah, the thing about, like the 30 minutes of walking and talking and also the 30-minute long white moot was that those were in, like, super extended episodes where you're like, huh, maybe you could have, like, not had an extended episode.
Yeah, but this is how we're using our extra time.
Yeah. Okay.
We're watching Tyrion slowly meander across the dragon pit, and we're like, maybe we didn't need this episode to be 87 minutes. Maybe that's possible.
I voted for Davos and his crab meat because...
You always vote for Davos?
I always
vote for Davos. I always vote for Lyanna.
That scene also went on forever.
Yes.
It did. It was so long. And the whole time Tyrion's in the back, like, not hiding in a bush.
And then he just, like, walks past them.
Hey, maybe they're not, like, super cash about it.
All right. This is a lot of choices.
I have my water.
Let's go through them, Julia.
Yeah. So the next Carol is for the best reunion. So because this show consists entirely of just, like, rehashes and quote-unquote in-jokes, there were a lot of reunions. In fact, we missed a couple. But here are the nominees. Hot Pie and Arya. Sansa and Bran. Sansa and Arya. Jon and Theon. Jon and Tyrion. Arya and Nymeria. Brienne and Sandor. Arya and Brienne. Tyrion and Jorah. Dany and Jorah. Gendry and Davos. Gendry and the Brotherhood Without Banners. Tyrion and Larry. Tyrion and Bronn. Tyrion and Cheryl. Sam and Bran.
And the winner, and with a pretty comfortable lead, actually, which is, you know, again, saying something in this kind of category, with 20.7% of the votes, was Sansa and Arya.
Yep.
And I believe right behind it was actually Sansa and Bran.
Those were both so special.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sansa and Arya was, like, weird.
Yeah, I mean, it was
uncomfortable.
It was very, like, it took you out of the show again, just because you're just like, oh, these are two actors who are friends. Like, it was so...
Yeah, and then Sansa and Bran was uncomfortable, because that's when he, like, recalled her trauma.
Yeah. Like, I remember you were wearing pretty dresses when you were raped. Like, yeah.
And then, like, Arya obviously went downhill. This was also one of those categories that as I was compiling this list, I was just like, oh my god, I can't keep thinking of more. Fuck, I thought of another.
Yeah. And we still miss them. Still miss some. Yes.
Do you remember which ones you guys voted for?
I do not.
Guess which one I voted for.
Is it Davos?
It's Davos.
Davos? I got confused by the pairings, and I'm like, Davos, the only one with Davos.
I think I voted for Brienne and Sandor, because it was so fan servicey, just like, how's Arya doing? Oh, she's doing all right. Like, okay, cool. Oh, Caroline, you're lucky that you get the next one.
Yay!
All right.
This is one of my favorite categories. This is a classic. Classic. Most skillful penis reference. All right, so we have Sandor.
They're mature.
Sandor calling Thoros a bald cocksucker, who is apparently not fooling anyone with his top knot.
Correct.
Euron calling Theon a cockless hound. Bronn giggling at Dickon Tarly's name. Tormund and Sandor discussing the etymology of various expressions for a penis. Bronn pontificating on the Unsullied's willingness and capability to fight being eunuchs. Bronn mentioning Pod's magic cock.
Hooray.
This was not even close.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bronn giggling at Dickon Tarly's name won with 47.2%. It was the most skillful penis reference, to be fair.
I don't know.
That's what I voted for.
As a linguist, I really liked Tormund and Sandor discussing the etymology of various idiomatic expressions for a penis.
Oh, one of them said dick, and the other was like, dick? Cock. Cock. Ah, I like cock. I bet you do. Yeah. Nope, it's pussy for me. Yeah. That's...
As a linguist, I appreciate it.
So, if you think I just googled the script, like, searched the scripts for the word cock to compile this list, you are correct. And then I happen to remember Bronn giggling at Dickon's
name.
Well,
that was memorable.
That was my vote. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? It's when you start to think that there might actually be something, like, wrong with Bronn a little bit.
He's repressed. His sexuality is very confused right now.
I think we should be more sympathetic.
Oh man, completely repressed. Alright, the next Golden Carol is the third year in a row Golden Carol. The Serendipity Award. Yep. A lot of times things just happen, and boy, is that convenient for the plot that it happened the way it did. Serendipitous. And our choices are Dragonstone being completely empty and unlocked for Danny.
They didn't even have to break down the door.
Sam stealing the one journal from the restricted sections with the secrets of John's parentage. Sam stealing the one book from the restricted section that mentions dragon glass on Dragonstone. Sam finding a WikiHow on how to cure a grayscale. The one white being left alive after the White Walker was cut down. And Bronn not having looked in the past before after figuring out John's parentage until Sam prompted him for a dramatically satisfying season finale.
And Bronn's visions are very concerned about the audience's dramatic satisfaction.
Sam stealing the journal and Sam finding the WikiHow were like almost tied for this whole thing, but the WikiHow edged it out and that is the winner. Mm-hmm. On Kieran Grayscale, and I think it's my wording again because it said WikiHow. But, like, come on! Oh, I just have this secret solution on how to cure Grayscale. It's called exfoliation. No one's tried it before.
No, they've tried it. It's just forbidden.
The rich send their fucking kids to Valyria, but we're not gonna try this. You're telling me, like, no rich lord with, like, some Grayscale afflicted child tried to pay a commoner to do this?
Seriously, you're right. Yeah. Well, I guess that's why it has to be forbidden, for the good of the poor commoners.
But yeah, the High Septon's journal was pretty egregious, too. Like, how would he know to take the one book?
And he just, like, apparently just randomly took books, right?
Yeah, he just, like, grabbed a stack of books. We don't know why.
They were restricted.
And Gilly fucking read it, too. It wasn't even him.
Yeah, the question is, why was it, like, why was a High Septon's journal in the restricted section in the first place? Unless the maesters know the secret.
I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe the maesters know.
I guess. Okay.
Okay.
I thought Dragonstone was going to be the winner, but...
Mm. Yeah, the unlocked empty Dragonstone. There might have been, like, welcome home banners hanging or something.
Oh, the next category is great. I love this one.
The most classic Cheryl moment?
Yep.
Well, you know Cheryl. You know Cheryl.
She's a classic.
She's a Clea. Like, you know, sometimes she does things like she blows up a sept and then
classic
like,
smirks.
That's classic Cheryl. And this season we've had several just moments that were just... And they had Cheryl written all over them. Nominees are commissioning a giant map so she can walk around and disparage her enemies.
Oh god, I hope that wins.
Killing Tyeen while making Ilaria watch. Giving Larry a blowjob right after killing Tyeen. Letting her maid see her and Larry in bed together. Lying to John about helping him fight the army of the dead. Unforgivable.
What a classic. My faith is a little bit restored because the winner with 33.9% floor map.
Justice is finally served.
Finally, third map, floor map. Guys, we have been throwing floor map at you this entire award show.
Floor map should be in every category.
I agree.
I feel like floor map needs to be a shirt also.
Yeah.
Hashtag floor map.
I prefer my maps on the floor. no, and I mean, like, all these things are horrible and classic, but, like, what the fuck is floor map? Why does floor map exist? It is so practically unuseful.
It looks cool. I think it's just supposed to look cool, and it does.
And then she could swing her arms around and go, whores to the north and brutes of bitches to the south, and I'm like, oh my god.
I mean, like, all of these are, like, this is a tough choice. Like, giving Larry a blowjob, like, you know, we talked about, like, how there's quite a good chance there's still poison on her lips.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Caroline, you'll like the next one, I think.
Oh, most relatable Cheryl moment. All right.
Yeah.
Am I reading this one? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Most relatable Cheryl moment. Good old Cheryl. The nominees are when she tried not to process Tommen's death. When she refused Euron's marriage proposal because he's a kinslayer who can't be trusted. When she forgave Larry for a secret meeting but she found out she's pregnant. When she refused to agree to a plan where her enemies would decimate her in the end. When she explained the definition of conspiracy to Larry.
You know what's great about Cheryl is that she's both a classic and relatable? Because, like, this is basically where we'd want to say the most poor Carol moment, but it's, you know, she's Cheryl now, so it's just, like, relatable Cheryl. And winning rather handily with 37.5% was when she refused to agree to a plan that would allow her enemies to decimate her.
She's so unreasonable.
She's not going to send her troops to fight the Army of the Dead when she doesn't feel her troops are going to make a difference. And John has kneeled to Dany. Which was also the final straw between Larry and Cheryl.
Apparently.
So the second place runner-up, too, was when she explained the definition of conspiracy to Larry. And there's some people that vote and haven't watched the show. She literally whips out the dictionary definition of conspiracy to him. Because she's like, that wasn't conspiracy. She's like, you did this in secret. That is the definition. So what a mensch for teaching her boyfriend some good vocab words there.
And by boyfriend, you mean brother.
Yes. Well, we all have flaws, Joya. I mean, I voted for the not allowing herself to get decimated thing, too.
Same, yeah.
I don't remember.
I thought that was really reasonable, that, you know, it really is.
Yeah, and everyone's acting like it's this cardinal sin. It was like, no. All right, so our next category, there's a lot of romance on Game of Thrones. Some more compelling than others. So we have a category for most compelling and unproblematic show.
We have a caveat here, remember?
We do have a caveat here. I was going to include a caveat on the ballot, but it seems stupid too. I didn't include Missandei and Grey Worm, not because I don't think they're compelling and unproblematic, but because I do, and this is a sarcastic award ceremony. Yeah. So sticking them on it, while we also have like Maisie Williams and Ed Sheeran, just like, seemed wrong. So they're actually good, and if I'll link my fallacy piece, or maybe I won't, I don't know. Well, I'll the sexism piece for this year, because I talk about how that's actually well done, but it's an anomaly. However, what's not an anomaly are these nominations for most compelling and unproblematic ship. So first we've got Daenerys, or Deadboard, which is, of course, Johnny and Deadpan.
Hashtag boat sex.
Hashtag boat sex. Tormund and Brienne. Larry and Bronn. Larry and Cheryl. Sansa and Batfinger. Sam and Gilly. Maisie and Ed Sheeran, Euron and Cheryl, and Ylaria, Yara and Ylaria, which, I'm not gonna lie, I forgot they kissed, so. The winner, rather handily with a quarter of the votes, was Daenerys.
Yeah.
Hashtag vote sucks.
I voted for Larry and Bronn because they're the best.
They were runner up.
I won't vote for them too, but now that I'm thinking about it, they are compelling. So.
Well, from Bronn's point of view, I'm kind of wishing I had voted Ylaria. What the fuck? What was that? In third place was Maisie and Ed Sheeran. We threw this on at the last minute, just like, I don't know. Here's another ship. So, this is, I'm surprised that did so well. But, yeah. Sam and Gilly, I feel a little bad. You might be wondering, like, why aren't they earnest in the same Missandei and Grey Worm thing? But then if you actually, like, look at their interactions, they don't seem to like each other very much. So, yeah, that's that. I'm not surprised at all boat sex won. Like, that was so forced and bad. All right, this is a classic category now. Julia, you want to give us the classic?
Oh, the best Season 7 Fandom Name Award. So, like, you might have noticed, like, we kind of, this is both our strength and our weakness, that we tend to give all these characters sarcastic names, especially if they're canonical characters from the books. We don't want to sully those characters. So
yeah.
I think the best inventions from this season, the nominees are the Brotherhood with Vague Continuity. Now they have vague continuity as opposed to none at all, so I guess that's an improvement. Vincent Expendable, the gumbo ingredient who died. Brambot 1000. The Windvane Lords, for the Northern Lords. Cherry Bomb, with Larry and Cheryl's fetus. Eurovision for Euron. Prince Ragger, which is actually from the show. Lady Liability for Lyanna. The Abandoned Isle of Sexual Tension from Dragonstone. I'm proud of that one. The Plot Convenience Pond for that pond north of the wall that freezes when the plot requires it to. And Old Town State for the Citadel.
I think my favorite part is that we said, in parentheses, the gumbo ingredient that died, but we didn't have gumbo as an option. So the winner, pretty comfortably, was Brandbot 1000.
Yes. And
like most things, it wasn't a nickname that Julia and I just started randomly. It was, there's a couple people calling him Brandbot. Mm. We added the 1,000 because of, you know, 1,000 eyes and one and all that.
Yeah.
So we thought that would be funny. And then second place was Prince Ragar, which is, again, from the show. Yeah. Those seem to be the best ones. Like, Lady Sandra Snark, won, Field Marshal Sandra Snark won last year, and Sandra was what Lyanna had called her, and that came out of the Ranters and Ravers. So the reason I'm saying that is we do actually try not to be fart smellers with our fandom names. The ones we enjoy the most are just, like, the ones that have stuck on for whatever reason. Our first winner was Melly Sandsbra, just because it was so fucking clever.
Oh, I love that one.
We didn't come up with that one either.
Past Carol, Larry, and Cheryl, like, we haven't really... We're proud of some of the ones we come up with, but it's not like... We're not going to foist them on you or anything. We just think it's fun. I thought Cherry Bomb was funny. That's what I voted
me
for. But I'm not shocked at all Brandbot won, because what the fuck?
I voted for Brandbot. Just as I was reading the list, I read Brandbot, and I, like, actually laughed out loud, and I'm like, that's it. That's the winner. That's
my vote. I like the Windvade Lords. That came out of Sansa.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of her lines. I actually really, really like that.
Although, it's not a wind vane. It's a weather vane.
Yeah.
That's not what it's called. But okay.
I know. It was so fucking funny. But I think they're trying to, like, make it...
I thought there's a thing called a wind vane. It's like a windsock kind of situation.
That's a windsock.
I think it's mixing windsock with weather vane. It's okay. I think they're trying to make it sound like a fit in. Caroline, this is probably the most famous Carol Award category, though. So are you up for it?
Yeah, it's the best picture of the Carol Awards.
I'm up for it. All right, everyone. So the creatively it made sense because we wanted it to happen award. Did you want to explain the source of the quote?
Oh, sure. Okay. So, Benioff and Weiss were asked why they had John and Danny meet each, or I'm sorry, Tyrion and Danny meet each other in season 5 when that hadn't happened in the books yet. And they said that they're, like, frustrated it hadn't happened in A Dance with Dragons. And then Benioff said, and I quote, creatively it made sense because we wanted it to happen. That's his philosophy of the show. Yeah. So this is just the, like, of course this happens.
This was instant because... classic thing. I mean, whatever. Yep.
That and gothic horror, I think, are still the two best things to come out of it. So, yeah, what are our nominees?
Dramatically satisfying.
Our nominees are Daenerys facing no resistance or people when arriving at Dragonstone. Tyrion splitting up all of Daenerys' troop as his battle strategy. Euron destroying Yara's fleet. Sam curing Jorah's grayscale. The Unsullied taking Casterly Rock. Larry having been to Casterly Rock already, leaving it with Lannister forces and taking Highgarden off-screen. Euron's fleet trapping the Unsullied at Casterly Rock. The Lannister Gold making it back to King's Landing, but the Lannister forces still getting destroyed by Daenerys. The White capturing mission to convince Cheryl. The White Moot. Zombie Viserion. #boatsex. The wall coming down thanks to Zombie Viserion, Arya, Bran, and Sansa punking Littlefinger and the audience. Wow, those are some great nominations. Yeah. Oh, this was tight.
These are great nominations, and this was tight. It was basically a 4 or 5 horse race in this one, and really anyone could have taken it, but edging out at the very end, it was Arya, Bran, and Sansa punking Littlefinger and the audience.
Yeah, that was I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think that definitely is the creatively made sense because we want it to happen. I feel that's good.
I actually thought about this one quite a bit, and I ended up voting for Tyrion splitting up all of Daenerys' forces because it was so, like, transparently, like, contrived.
That came in 5th place, interestingly, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's the one I voted for, too.
It was, like, kind of like the thing that they had to build the entire season around because, like, they finished season 6, they're like, oh shit, we made her way too powerful.
Right.
How do we fix this? And it's so obvious that that's what's happened.
I actually voted for the 2nd place, the runner-up, which was the White capturing mission, just because that bent 3 episodes and no one ever explained why this was necessary. Like, why was the truce necessary?
Yeah.
Any of it. In 3rd place was #boatsex, and in 4th place was Sam curing Jorah of his grayscale. But this was, like, when you read through this list, you're like, wow, this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of remarkable how bad this is. And I say that having been disgusted with Game of Thrones for 3 years, so... All right, well, it wouldn't be a Carol Awards if we didn't, walk of shame ourselves at the end of it. So the last category to close it out is the Creator's Choice Award for Most Egregious Oversight.
And we actually don't know who the winner is yet. We're going to decide right now.
I have a feeling I know who the winner is, but we did go through and pick out.
This is the short list. There are more.
Yeah, so there's a few options, and sometimes people suggested categories, and they made it too. So the nominations are: category, most realistically depicted culture; Mira left off the They Contributed So Much award; Rhaegar and Lyanna in Most Compelling and Unproblematic Ship; chatting about Deadpan's fertility problems in the Best Boat Sex Setup, hashtag boat sex; Robert's Rebellion Was Built on a Lie in Most Emmy-Worthy Line; category, Most Nonsensical Brand Line; Theon Kicking a Dude in the Balls in Most Empowering Moment. Can't believe we forgot that one. Category, Most Touching Declaration of Familial Love. I believe that probably would have included Arya being like, I'm going to cut your face and wear it. Brienne and Larry in Best Reunion. Cannot believe we forgot that.
It's embarrassing.
Category, the Blackfish Award for excellence in disappearing and no longer being relevant. That would have included, probably Mel would have been in it, but also like Edmure.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck is running Riverrun right now? John and Benjen in Best Reunion. Category, Best Resolution of Trauma. And finally, R plus L equals J being brought up, even though no one cares about secession anymore, in The Devil in the Details.
I gotta say, the person, I just have to acknowledge their hard work. The person who did, who suggested Best Resolution of Trauma actually also suggested nominees. And I just want to read them out because they're really good.
Please.
So the hypothetical Best Resolution of Trauma award nominees are Sandor Clegane for I Guess I Read Flames Now; Davos Seaworth for I'm Sure Nothing Bad Happened Last Time I Was in King's Landing with Tyrion Lannister, but whatever. Jaime Lannister for I'm Totally Cool with Monarchs Who Use Wildfire to Blow Up Things Now; Theon Greyjoy for I Can Be Both a Stark and a Greyjoy Now Because Jon Said So; Theon Greyjoy again, he's Kate Winsling it, for My Lack of Penis is Super Handy in a Fight; Jon Snow for Yeah, I Died, That's Where That Scar's From; Sansa Stark for My Sister Threatened to Cut Off Face Off, We're Cool Now; and Gendry Waters for I Was Sold, Raped, and Assaulted and Had My Blood Stolen for Use of Black Magic, But At Least I Didn't Die.
So, probably because of that amazing work on it, and just because of how thorough that was, that has my vote for Most Egregious Oversight. I think that would have been a really, really cool category to have, and very valuable. And I think I would have voted for,
I know who I would have voted for in that. Theon, My Lack of Penis is Super Handy in a Fight.
I was thinking that too. I was also thinking Arya. I was thinking Sansa being like, "Oh, whatever. You tried to threaten to kill me, but we're cool now. Yeah. You're strong." But no, Theon's was pretty egregious. So yeah, that's my vote for our oversight. What do you think, Julia? Do you think we were dumber with like forgetting that Brienne and Jaime had a reunion?
Or Mira? Remember Mira?
Yeah,
and I can't believe we got Rhaegar and Lyanna in Most Compelling Unproblematic Ship. And Robert's Rebellion Was Built on a Lie is very Emmy-worthy.
You know what? Okay, here's the thing. I think Mira being forgotten is actually very meta.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. She was not memorable this year. Like, she had one scene where she's like, what the fuck, Brad? You don't want me around?
And that poor actor who plays Mira, she whips it out every single time. Like, they give her absolutely nothing.
You just like
nothing.
Her because of CrossFit.
I do like her because of CrossFit, but just, like, a lot of these actors in these, like, stupid piddling roles, they actually, like, try. You know? It's sad to see.
Jaime and Brienne had a reunion. Brienne said fuck loyalty, and we didn't remember it happened.
Because it means nothing. Nothing is nothing, you know? It doesn't make any impression because it's so stupid.
Yeah.
Well, if you both agree on the best version of trauma, my vote doesn't matter anyway. So, let's go with that.
Okay. I do agree on it strongly, though. Caroline, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I think that would have been a great category.
Yeah. No, it definitely would have, but there's so many other options.
Because I'm sure next season.
I think we will.
I'm sure next season it'll be applicable.
Yeah. And in that category, I have to shout out for Jaime being okay with people who blow up things with wildfire now. Like, that's just like.
You know, I think I would have voted for John being like, yeah, I died, whatever. All right, guys, that was the 2017 Season 7 Carol Awards,
our third annual
Carol Awards. Boy, am I dramatically satisfied, and I'm so excited to rewatch the season now. So thank you for everyone for voting, for listening, for making this event what it is. We do have official Carol Award merch that's going to be advertised at the bottom of this post. I don't know what form it's taking yet because I'm not a soothsayer, but I have ideas. So hopefully one of them will come to fruition. Otherwise, you will be able to read what we write about on thefandamentals.com. That's going to include Season 7 analysis pieces. We don't know when, but Caroline at some point will have a costume analysis for us too.
One of these days. Every time I go to work on it, it just depresses me so much.
But it's fine.
It's coming along.
I totally get it. Not a problem with that. Just draw your strength from the battle card again.
I can do it.
Can you cosplay as her as you're writing it? That'll help.
Probably will
I
help.
Should. I definitely have a cardigan that's that color and
because I went yeah, to so I wear casual 21. Fridays. if you like Game of Thrones snobbery, I guess, then subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and be like, hey, these girls know what they're talking about. Because we do. We totally do. And yeah. That's about it. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you all for coming to our illustrious award ceremony. I'm sorry, we have no idea what an award ceremony actually entails or sounds like.
I think we had to like stop every once in a while for like music and stuff, right? That's a thing that they did in award ceremony. Skits. I think there were skits.
There are skits. Oh, and last year I used for that trailer of like coming soon, I used the funny thing happened on the way to the forum overture. Maybe I'll use another Sondheim overture for this. But yeah, that's all we got. Yeah, I guess awesome. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Alright, I'm recording, so. Bye.
Juliet, we ask that you please silence your cell phones for the Carol Awards.